passion, peace, and productivity with friends. The Walker AC Experience, Out of Context Podcast, and many more shows are here on the Walker AC Experience Podcast channel. Starting in February of 2018, the experience has been a staple amongst the many millions of podcasts out there and still going strong to this day. Take the adventure with us and subscribe, follow, share, comment, and support the experience. Bookmark WalkerAC76.podbean.com and www.walkeracexperience.com/mobile. Want to pick up and rock some merchandise? Go to www.cafepress.com/WACE and pick up everything from Walker AC Experience hoodies, shirts, and tees. And even special items such as bedroom blankets, clothes for your little ones, pets, stationery, magnets, and so much more. We thank you for your continued support and keep the experience thriving.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome back to the March 26th edition of the Walker AC Experience. I am your host, Walker AC, and to you, my friends, yes, you are my friends. And fear not, we didn't give up. We didn't leave. We just took a week off. That's what we do. We work hard here. We solve world's problems, and we give world peace, and we give our expert advice on everything. Eventually, our circuits get fried, and we have to take a small break. But we're glad that you're back with us for another week. We're glad that you toughed it out and you're supporting us. So we thank you for that. And of course, speaking of support, go ahead, log on to walkeracexperience.com/mobile or walkeracexperience.com. That will bring you to the current up-to-date podcast that we have right now. News, informations, a little bit thing here and there, a little bit updates also. Hop on the website, you hear a special introduction to the Walker AC Experience. We thank you once again for that. Also, buy some merchandise, cafepress.com/WACE. That's where you can buy gear, t-shirts, hoodies, everything else in between, like you heard at the start of the show. And speaking of show, the Walker AC Experience can't be with a show. Can't have a show without his co-host, without the main man, without the intelligent one. He is the Spock to my Sulu, and I cannot believe I made that reference. Kevin, you, everyone. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Salutations, everyone. Happy officially springtime.
Are you ready for spring break? Are you ready for the springtime, the pollen season, the heat, all that fun stuff that has to do with jolly old Florida?
Of course. I think one of my superpowers is not to be allergic to pollen. It's like, this is annoying. Why I see everybody suffering around me.
Yes, and of course, with the heat comes the hurricanes, the rainstorm, all that fun stuff. And people are asking, Walker, do you suntan? And I'm like, really, guys? Have you seen me? I get darker. That's the last thing I want. You know, I don't want to get so black I just appear when I walk into a room. No, we're not playing that game here on the experience. Do you suntan, dear Kevin?
Not on purpose. Like, I like to do yoga outside. I like to go, you know, learn how to swim. But I don't know. Usually I don't sit there and tan anymore because I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little older and I gotta watch out for my skin. And like, yeah, it's like, it starts getting uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, I'm just sitting here being uncomfortable. I could be uncomfortable inside.
And now coming up, of course, you know, all the rain and all that fun stuff. Now, people up north, of course, they're going to go through their seasons. And I think it's still snowing up in most northern areas. I do believe I'm going to have some friends in Ohio that are still going through, you know, the snow and stuff like that. And we mentioned this ad nauseum that we're not snowbirds. We're not even going to pretend. No, we will stick down here with our monsoon weather and flooding and loss of electricity and everything in between. So this is one thing we have to deal with here in Florida. So bring it on, people. Bring it on. We are terrified of a thing called seasons. So we're good with that.
Yep, exactly. Other states can keep their blizzards and wildfires.
So,
take a our home insurance with you.
Exactly. So as we start the show here, let's do a little bit of backtracking. I mean, how have you been this past week we've been off air? You told me before we recorded that something entertaining happened to you, which is causing your lovely sniffles.
Oh, yeah. So this week on the spring break, I've been waiting all month long for it. And so my niece is very rambunctious. I call her a rapscallion or scoundrel on the regular. And she just gets off face, like, coughs. I'm like, oh, boy, that was not cool. And so now, you know, due to her being a chemical agent, I've got, like, a minor cold.
Oh, lovely. I mean, are you sure it's not H1N1 or Ebola or all those popular things that, you know, they started to spread years ago? I mean, how about SARS? I mean, do you have a good case of the SARS going on yet, or is it still a light H1N1 going on?
It's hard to say. It could be, I don't know, it could be the precursor to advanced rabies where I start to turn into a zombie, you know. Hard to say. It could be a nanovirus that, you know, I need to develop antibodies to save the mutant population in the future. We'll find out, I guess.
Or, if it is a zombie outbreak, I'll be honored to know that the test subject, patient zero, Kevin, turned into a zombie. Now, I would feel really bad because, you know, I have to shoot you in the head, but it'll make some great, interesting podcast. And, I mean, if you really think about it, could you really have a podcast being a zombie? Could you really formulate words or thoughts or just do the proverbial groan and scream for brains?
It depends on the zombie. But, I mean, there are... But then I start today thinking, like, what's the difference between a zombie and a ghoul? There's got to be a difference. I don't know. For those of you who don't know, please write it in. Let us know.
I'm thinking a ghoul is like an 80s version of a zombie. Because a ghoul, yeah, they're mangled, they're ugly and everything. But the zombie now is much more sophisticated. And, you know, I saw bits and pieces, and I'm going to be that guy. I saw bits and pieces of, like, zombie movies, or I think it was, like, a zombie thing came out on Netflix. I can't think of the title. Some of you are screaming at your phone right now, you know, trying to use mental telepathy to tell me what the name of the movie is. But, obviously, there are some zombies out there that can run fast instead of making that slow slog to try to eat your brain. Other zombies are actually free thinkers, and they can actually get to you quicker. So, I mean, if the zombie apocalypse is going to happen and you're patient zero, hopefully you have the intelligence to attack certain people to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. You know, who would I attack first is children, because nobody ever sees the children coming.
And people will be afraid to shoot the children in the head. Because, I mean...
Exactly.
And that right there in itself, Kevin, that'll be the downfall of society. Just right there. You know, because look at the cute, cuddly kids slobbering and snotting everywhere. The first thing they want to do is hold them and take care of them, and instant bite to the neck. Bite to the neck. Zombie apocalypse right there. Yeah, I mean, you called it.
Yeah. And besides, look at how the societies have reacted to pandemics and epidemics. Everybody's just like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Oh, it's just happening to those colored people. Oh, it's just happening to those people over there. See, we'd be in big trouble just by observing how things have went down in history.
Well, I mean, of course, once the zombie apocalypse starts, I think I'm taking a charter plane to Antarctica. Because, I mean, it'd be way too cold, you know, for zombies to come after me, running after me, screaming for brains. I mean, they'll freeze half to death. Worst comes to worst, I go to the Himalayas and just take my chances there. And please, people, spare me the talk of, no, you can't go to the Himalayas because you'll freeze to death. Yeah, zombie apocalypse, it's the same kind of joke. So just take this ride with me. I will go to Antarctica and just live out the rest of my days there as an Eskimo. I mean, but still, the good thing is, I mean, what, the... Like, you know, the sun sets, stays set for many, many days. So, man, I miss really good sleep.
What about vampires? Forget about those guys. Or werewolves. Don't discount them.
You see, Kevin, now you're exaggerating, okay? Okay, nine acres silly.
That's just too silly. Let's go back to talking about how 5G causes zombies.
Oh, come on. I mean, like, you don't have your tinfoil hat on? Come on, please. Conspiracies are just rampant. I mean, you know, but it really makes you think. And, of course, now this is going to be a silly podcast, folks. Don't take it too seriously. I don't need you writing in saying, no, they don't exist. Come on. Just take this ride with me. It's been a week. Now, if you think, Kevin, as far as years have passed, you think of the first zombie movie, like Night of the Living Dead, or even something before that. I mean, where would
like White Zombie?
Hey, more human than human. But where would this whole thing start from? I mean, where in your imagination would you come up with an idea of an undead person wanting to eat your flesh and brains? I mean, do you think that's the zombies have been around for this long, just like aliens, or just somebody had a bad acid trip and just thought of making a movie about zombies?
Well, let's go the second route and then be super blasphemous. Now, the original zombie, Jesus, you see, think about it, came back from the dead. And also, his followers are supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. See? Zombies. Right from the start, right there.
The views of the Walker AC Experience is not necessarily reflective of views of Kevin, his affiliates, or anything of the sort. Send all your hate mail to walkeracyexperience.com. Now, interesting note to this. You must be reading my mind. A couple of days ago, I was in a car. And I was talking to someone, and I may mention, I was raised Baptist, and you know I would go to church from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m, and
damn,
and being a small black kid, not knowing any better, just I wanted to get out of there and go to the playground, not listening to some guy in a long kilt, sing and praise and say Jesus a lot, and you know with my ever developing mind, they gave me a piece of cracker and some grape juice. It tasted amazing, and I wanted more. But then he told me that it was the body of Christ and his blood. So you talk about trauma early? I never wanted to drink grape juice ever again because, you know, I was drinking Jesus' blood, and it was good. So my early stages of vampirism right there, Kevin. It was pretty bizarre.
Were you more of a purple stuff kid?
I was more of a grape drank kind of kid. Because who knew that Jesus tastes like grape Kool-Aid? I mean, it was the most amazing thing ever. I just needed more sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Flip through the notepad. Zombies, check. Blasphemous, Jesus humor, check. Okay. So, as we're continuing to work on getting canceled, when was your first experience with religion? I mean, was it fed to you as a child, or did you get into it more and more as you got older?
Yeah, like half my family was super religious, you know, like working for the church, and which was fine for them, which is really nice. And, you know, it did my family some good, you know, and I just think it's good for some people and not for other people. And I am my favorite, I guess, it's not, I don't even think it was conspiracy anymore. My favorite theory right now is that there are some real extreme Christians that just want to make America the Christian version of like Sharia law. It's kind of freaking me out. So it's just always been there where like my teachers would like mention, you know, religious things like, you know, casually, or people talk about going to Bible study or like church. I'm like, oh, what's that? Is that for like, you know, you kids out there? You know, I'm way too ethnic for that. So I don't know. It was just at a very, very early age, and it all just didn't make sense to me. I'm like, oh, that's what you guys do. Cool. Am I supposed to do something? It's okay if I like just like sit here and just look down my shoes and like, I don't know, what do you want?
Well, it was really weird for me because it was never really explained to me. You know, being a kid growing up in rural area of Chicago, being very, very young and having my mother dress me up in amazing clothes, which I have no idea where we got them from, just amazing clothes, and going to church on a Sunday, it was just second nature. We were not explained why we went, we just explained we just needed to go. And we would sit there, and of course, being a kid that's 5-6 years old, you can't sit still on a wooden bench for seemingly 18 hours, which is half of your life right there, and then stand up, sit down, and you say some words and you scream Jesus, and you look to you, and you see a fat black woman fall out and shake and twitch and everything, and it was really odd. And then playtime, was it really playtime? Because you have some really weird guy explain to you more about this guy named Jesus, and about how he's dead, and about how he got nailed to a cross, which really is morbid. But yet we worship the guy and we drink his blood. What? Okay. You know, I was terrified to go into church. I never wanted to go. My mom used to beat the crap out of me because I had to go and worship Jesus, or else she'd beat me. I'm like,
learn about peace, smack.
You know, I mean, she beat peace into me, which is really odd. But then, of course, as time grew, we had the option of going, and it was never really one of my things because it was more confusing than anything. I mean, it wasn't just blissful ignorance. It was just the stories didn't make any sense. And then, here's the kicker. Easter Sunday, and we joked about this before, Easter Sunday, they would hide eggs in the name of Christ. And they were chocolate. And they were good. So I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was drinking his blood, which is grape juice. I was eating his bones, which is a Ritz cracker. And now we're hiding eggs. I was really confused. I was very confused by that, Kevin.
Yeah, it's like when you pick apart any belief system, it is seeming real weird, super weird. I mean, even the dressing up part, it's like, who are you dressing up for? I really always like never got that. Like, okay, you're in your suit and tie. It's like, are you having an interview with the pastor? Or like, you know, is the priest judging you? Be like, oh, look at this look right here. How last season. For shame.
And, you know, so as I got older, a family member of mine switched over to Christianity, which I thought was the exact same thing, just a different name. You know, it's like you put on a pair of jeans and you slap the word Levi on them and you get charged more for it. So they became a born-again Christian. And please, my dear people, I'm not poking fun at anything. I'm just talking about how I perceived it at the time. So my family member told me that she was a born-again Christian. I kind of tilted my head like a dog when he changes food. And I'm like, what does that mean, born again? I mean, do you shag someone the night before, you feel bad about it, and you repent, and you're okay again? It wipes it clean? It means like an eraser of your life? How does that work? And that went over like a fart in church, and that person talked to me for a while. But it was basically the same thing. You know, be good to people, don't kill people, you know, don't say the word fuck, stuff like that. And then you see the pastor or whomever drinking wine, which was really, really weird too. So did you ever look at other religions, or did you stick with yours as, you know, as a young child and then growing up as a teen to an adult?
No, I mean, just through education, I was exposed to Buddhism, and like through, you know, my adventures, kind of started exploring yoga and its roots to Sikhism and Hinduism, and you know, that kind of stuff, and just trying to think and frame religion more as a philosophy rather than true, like, things that exactly happened. Like, yes, this good dude Noah got swallowed by a whale and it was all right for a while, you know. Really, it just because I think it's a little more to be, I guess the only way that you think it was reasonable, if you think of it as a philosophy rather than, you know, that the first woman was made from some guy's rib. You know?
And see, when you think about it and when you put it in a context as we are, in a kind of, you know, jovial kind of way, in a very silly kind of way, you look back at it, you're like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. And it was more of a suggestion on how to live life. You know, it was more, you know, instead of saying this, why don't you say this? Instead of, you know, looking at a person and doing this, why don't you do this instead? It was all basically just centered around being a good person. and tales and fables and stuff of that nature, talking about how one person lived, how many people lived, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and things like that. And please, I'm not going to delve into it too much, because I can tell you right off the bat, I'm not a religious person. I'm not going to pretend to be. Now, I stayed at a Motel 6 one night, but that does not make me a preacher. So I just have a good time with it. And not insulting the ideals and the principles of religion. It's just, when you break it down in a comedic sort of way, some of it really doesn't make any sense. And we talked about Easter. We talked about Santa Claus and the origins of that. Because if you really think about it, parents didn't dig too deep into it. It was, you're a good kid, you get a gift. Easter Sunday, you get chocolates and you hide eggs, which is really bizarre. And just everything else in between. So you have other religions that have Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and stuff like that, but they all preach the exact same thing, you know, be nice and groovy to one another. But looking back at it as a child, or as, you know, a young adult growing up, you look back at all these religions that really sometimes really doesn't make any sense. But once again, Kevin, the message is all the same. I looked into Buddhism for a bit, and that was more of a peaceful kind of religion ideal. What do you think of that, or do you know anything about Buddhism?
Well, sure. It has a lot of more concepts and there are different sects of Buddhism, and like some of it is a little more just philosophical, like understanding that everything is temporary, and or like reality is illusionary, which I get. Some of it gets to be really more esoteric, where, you know, talking about cyclic suffering, and, you know, you're trying to reach nirvana to escape the cycle of suffering, and karma, you're trying to escape karma, which is to seek balance, not good, not bad, is to rise above it and just escape it. And so, but I don't know too much, because I'm not that invested in it. But I even just think of, like, in other alternative things, thinking, like, absurdism is kind of interesting. Like, looking at how silly everything in the world is, and all you can do is laugh at it, because everything we do is just so ridiculous, from working to fighting to being concerned with our everyday concerns. It's all just so ridiculous because it doesn't matter at all. And like, you know, X amount of time, it won't, you know, the sun will die, the earth will die, and it will not have meant anything. It's so silly.
Yeah, and I think most of us, without going into a long tangent, I think most of us are afraid of that. You know, of you working your life, you working your fingers to the bone to provide for yourself or your loved ones, and then in the end, it was all for naught. You know, the money and the fame, the houses, the cars, the women, the men, everything was just all for naught. And then the greatest thing that most people really don't understand is, once it's time to pass, you can't take any of this stuff with you. You can't. All you leave behind is a legacy. All you leave behind are thoughts of you, of your vessel as a human being, and what you left behind. And
yep,
go ahead.
And even those go away. All that will be gone. And I think it's better to make your peace with it. Just like, it's okay.
Yes, and so, which leads me to my next question to you, is if very few people think that nothing else matters, then do you think that, I'm using for example, do you think that the Bible is an instruction guide for us, you know, for us to kind of stay in check, you know, for us not to go into total anarchy and do whatever we want because it doesn't matter? You know, because if you think about it, you're like, okay, and I make the joke a couple of podcasts ago that way, way back then, you know, in a caveman, you know, you see Ugg over there shagging a sheep while all the other, you know, primates are shagging each other, and Bob, the caveman, going, you know, Ugg really shouldn't shag that sheep because we eat that sheep and we need his fur and everything to keep warm. So why don't we come up with something to tell Ugg, the primate, not to shag the sheep? Oh, I got it. Okay, follow me along. Okay, so this book says that you cannot do that, because that's our food. So So if you keep doing that, you're not going to go to a good place after, you know, after you die or after we set you on fire. You're not going to go to a good place. So this is her book. Learn from our book. And we'll give you a certain set of rules to live by because we don't want you doing anything that's going to affect our way of life.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like it was made to influence society to deal with the existential dread that, you know, the struggle to live and survive was even mean. What does it matter? To provide these answers, just like a lot of religions are trying to do, and to, you know, help society function and define morality. And, you know, for better or worse, it kind of tries to serve these type of needs in human nature. And I think that's why it's so popular, because it gives you those answers. It gives you those instructions, whether they make sense or not. It's just there, and you can just resolve it. Because, like, well, it just says so, and let's just, you know, we'll dive into it, and we'll find the answer to it, and that's good enough. And it does its function, you know, and just like all other religions have tried to do.
And do you think in a really, really wacky reality that one day the human race is going to go, Kevin and Adrian are right. I listened to their podcast one day, and they're right, because they solved another world problem. They're legends. So we should just have total free reign to do what we want, because nothing else matters. Now, do you think that society is going to break down and people are going to, you know, freak out and cats and dogs living together and, you know, Jimmy down the road shagging a fire hydrant? Do you think it's going to totally go belly up? Or are we just kind of not, I don't want to say programmed, because that's so silly. Do you think we're just in our biology just to want to do the right thing and try not to cause chaos and destruction and harm one another?
Yeah, we are social beings. That's part of our psychology. This is how we've gotten to where we are, because we work together. It's survival of the friendliest, or the most likable, not survival of the strongest. And there's consequences to everything we do. So it makes sense that we don't eat each other. It makes sense that we don't, you know, constantly try to devolve back into pre-agricultural era of hunter-gatherer. It's just pragmatism, and that helps us survive and get things done and get what we want. And all we gotta do is look at societies that didn't have the organized religions that we have now, or believe in other types of philosophies or religions. They still did their thing. So if certain religions just fall out of fashion and just go away, society will go on, because there is something else to help us deal with these thoughts and thinking and our needs.
It would be an interesting scientific experiment, or a movie that's, of course, been made about it, Lord of the Flies kind of thing. You know, because you really didn't have any structure. But, of course, instantly structure was built. You know, rules were made, rules had to be followed, or there had to be some sort of consequence with it. So that was a good case study. Have you seen Lord of the Flies?
Well, that was also, it also kind of, we also have to keep thinking about it, because it's also about the myth of the innocence of children. That children, you know, by human nature, we also have a lot of violent tendencies, like, you know, unfairness. So it's a criticism of human nature as well. And also, we gotta think about the author, the background author, as a Caucasian male. You know, he's operating from a certain mindset too. And so there's all these other things that we can consider that culminated in The Lord of the Flies. It wasn't a accurate depiction of society at all. We gotta look at other societies where, like, there's a crisis and people pull together to get through, not just tear each other apart. Because I think we also have to take into a zoom out of it as well to consider these X factors, and not just say that's just how it is. It is one person's perspective, influenced by other things surrounding their culture, to make certain points.
And that is true. I mean, and they have certain game shows now, and I'm bringing it back to the current time, I guess. They have, they have current game shows where they allegedly drop you on an island by yourself, and you have to create, you know, to create shelter, create food, create fire, come up with some sort of democracy, you know, to make things work. And 9 times out of 10, you know, everyone has a particular role they have to do, particular rule they have to follow, and very rarely it ever falls apart. You know, and you're right. I mean, people have this, you know, this innate nature to want to stay within the rules. So it's pretty rare that you will see a society. You know, I mean, even something in third world that didn't have a set of rules put in place.
Yeah, or the rules are completely different. Like the idea of owning land is bizarre to some cultures. Like, how can you own land? That seems insane to me. And when you take that perspective, it is kind of insane to be like, here from here, that's mine. all the way down into the middle of the earth, that's mine. Until space, mine. Absolutely crazy to think that way. And so, you know, and also, like, we also got to think reality game shows, you know, they're coming in with their own cultural conditioning as well. They weren't born on the island, and they may have picked up a completely different set of ways to live life, which would be quite fascinating. But, you know, we're taking people from Western countries that come from certain, you know, probably not too dissimilar backgrounds. They can be totally, you know, off the wall different, and they're put in, you know, they have these parameters to make it happen. So it is kind of an artifice, I believe.
And I agree. I mean, we really can't take someone from a tribe we've never heard of that has never seen a television set, more or less a cell phone, and stick them into a place with a common American and expect to, you know, come together and actually make magic happen. That person will probably be stabbed with a spear and probably eaten.
Or the other way around, or the native person gets completely exploited and corrupted.
Well, yes, of course. They turn into a slave because, you know, we own people just like we own land, which is, once again, that falls into the bizarre what the hell category. So, so Kevin, man, I mean, other than solving religion and, you know, solving society, I mean, what else can we solve? I mean, as we go along with this show a half hour in, I mean, we've done a lot already.
What problems can we solve or cause? Sometimes I think with that. What did we do wrong today?
Well, you know, once again, I was talking to a close family member, and they may mention to the Matrix, and now people are going to raise an eyebrow and roll their eyes and go, oh, no. No. With the movie The Matrix, do you think that there's a possibility of that actually being a particular thing? Me, I don't, but it's something to kind of bounce around a little bit, you know, just get people thinking.
I think there was a metaphysical model that did prove that we're not living in the Matrix. And also, we gotta think that the original Matrix was a little bit more of possibly a Buddhist parable until it turned into a Christian parable by the third one.
Shocker,
which
shocker.
Is like, oh. I was like, oh, okay, that was a twist. What? Cool. It's like not directly, you know, having like a, you know, like a, almost a quasi, you know, crucifixion sequence, and I'm like, oh, okay, that was a left turn. So I think people might be taking it too literal, because you know, by researching other religions such as Sikhism, like we're all space dust and we'll all return to space dust, and like everything is illusionary. Our, you know, from our money to our states to our bodies, It's just all temporary. Temporary configurations that we label social meaning to. And kind of like the Matrix, where you can just, you can see beyond that, possibly. It's not like we're all hooked up to a machine.
No, no, absolutely not. You know, and which makes me wonder, as people get, as some people, I don't want to say all people, you know, like you would think some people that have been committed, that have been mentally unstable, that scream at clouds and whatnot, do you think they haven't figured out and that their brains can't handle it? I mean, do you think a good majority, not all people with mental issues or whatnot that have been locked up and committed for their own safety, do you think, because in another bizarre world I've thought about many, many years ago, and I wrote about it, is when you finally figure it out, in your brain something unlocks and you finally figure it out, it literally drives you crazy because this isn't what you thought it was. You know, your hand, your television, your exercise bike, it's not what you thought it was, and you finally see it for what it is, and your brain can't handle it. So you, quote-unquote, go crazy. That's, you know, that's just one of my theories. When you figure it out, either you pass on or you just drive yourself insane.
Possibly. I'm not saying... It's also kind of, if any of you out there have had a psychedelic experience or have a really intense dream, you're, in a way, that could be a lesson to know that every single one of your senses can be fooled to a point where you just don't even know which reality you are in anymore. And it's almost kind of... It could be an awakening experience to, again, notice that all the fiction that surrounds us. I mean, yeah, I mean, nowadays there's a frontier of using psilocybin or ketamine to help people with treatment-resistant mental disorders. Or like to be completely traumatized can put you in an altered mental state as well. For those of you out there that have it, you may get what we're talking about. And in a way, like when you have these experiences, it can show you, you know, the temporary reality of a dream or a altered state is and how real it can be, just like when you're sober. And, you know, if somebody is out there that had to be institutionalized, you know, they're in their own reality, and in a way it's just as real to them just as the shared reality that we have around us is. And then we just gotta think, is what we call reality just a shared agreed upon delusion?
I would believe so. That's something that we were all raised with, that's something that we were taught that is real, and if anything strays from that, then it's labeled crazy. It's labeled a delusion. It's labeled a dream. It's labeled a vision. Because I think we have come so far that we're just taught that this is reality. Anything else beyond that, you know, the human mind can't handle it, and we just lose it. So pretty much getting lost in the Matrix. That was my little thought for that. I don't want to dig too deep because I'll drive myself crazy and be committed, Kevin. So you might have to find yourself a new host.
Or have a more interesting podcast.
my ultimate finishing move right there, just going crazy. So there you go.
But yeah, I mean, but like, it is kind of like when you meet people who have hallucinations, the worst thing you could do is just try to be like, no, you're wrong. Because to them, it's just as real as what you're perceiving. And like, and you know, you too could end up like that too. And it's just the reality experience.
Well, you are correct. And you know, I was always hesitant about trying any kind of psychedelics, mushrooms or whatnot, because one of the biggest fears for me is getting locked in that chamber of the mind, that you can't get out from. Getting lost in a hallucination, living in a hallucination, mm-hmm. and not being able to, quote unquote, wake up back to reality. And unfortunately, I've seen that before. I've seen people take hallucinogenic drugs and get trapped in that. And to be trapped in your mind for the rest of your life, that's a pretty terrifying thing. You know, especially that there's so much going on and there's so much you really don't want to see and you're trapped in there and you can't get out. You know, I mean, to me, that's like purgatory right there.
Well, we're also kind of like trapped in the rough mental states already as is. And just like, look at all we have to deal with and all we're concerned with and all the pressures we have. That, in a way, we're trapped in that delusion as well.
And do you think, honestly, now this is another deep one, and then we'll go into the dick and fart jokes. Do you think that once we pass on, is it like turning off a TV? You know, the series premiere is over.
Maybe. Maybe it's like beyond our comprehension. Maybe it's so radical that we can't fathom it. Maybe, or maybe people have a hint, and maybe it's just something we can't accept because it's, you'd have to like be at a different thinking level to understand it. You know, like, and I just one time in an altered state, I realized I'm so scared of death, but I wasn't scared before I was born, so why should I be scared again?
Well, that is true. I mean, the realization, and I heard this in a quote of a movie, The Crow, actually. Mm. The moment you're born, you start to die. And guys, I'm only paraphrasing, so in the comments, don't quote the quote. Don't quote The Crow to me. It's okay. Anyhow, but yes, you know, when you're born, that's when you start to realize that you're going to die. And we talked about the biggest fear, again, is passing on, because you don't know what's beyond that. There have been so many theories about that. So many, in my opinion, made up things to cushion you, to soften the blow after you pass on. Oh, mm-hmm. you know, he or she passed on, they're going to heaven. Or he or she was a bad person, they're going to hell. Or, you know, he or she got in contact, got a connection with what's inside, they'll be reincarnated. You know, it's always something to cushion the person, or it's always something to scare the person. Kevin, don't do this, or else you're going to go here. Or, hey, good job, you did this, you're going to go here. Or, hey, you know, you love animals, so you're going to be reincarnated as this. It's always something to cushion you. It's very rarely someone saying, I don't know, or there's nothing, you know, there's nothing, or, you know, because if you really think about it, and I made this reference many, many times, if there is a better place, for example, we'll just go with a better place. We'll go with heaven, for example. Wouldn't you be in a rush to get there? I mean, if you, the pearly gates and St. Peter, and you see family that has passed on, wouldn't you be in a hurry to get there instead of living your life here?
Possibly, but of course there's somehow rules against that too.
Oh, yeah, so you mean, you mean you can't off yourself kind of thing?
You can't take the cake out of the oven before it's ready, I guess. So it's kind of like that. And that's also, it's also really odd because, you know, it's like works of fiction such as Dante's Inferno or that one book from the 80s created the idea of hell and rapture, and those things are not in the Bible at all. And it's real funny to think of how it's got encoded and almost like absorbed into it when people are like, wait a minute, that was a work of fiction.
Well, and once again, people want to take those words of fiction as serious because, again, right. they're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen.
You know, right, you know, exactly.
You know, because once again, TV, movies, books, everything talks about the great beyond or down below or purgatory or reincarnation, all these nice soft things to worry about. Not necessarily, you know, you watch an action movie and 15 people get blown away and they're just off screen. You know, they don't get talked about, you know, where they go. Or unless you see a nice romantic movie where, you know, you die in your bed with your family all around you, you have the bright light, and, you know, and then you go up above. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, despite, you know, how reasonably, like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, you know, when you just think, it just doesn't make sense. Like, how can it fit so neatly into a human understanding when it could be just completely abstract, you know, beyond what you can know and perceive right now? And it just, it's so convenient. Be like, exactly. It's too convenient.
It's once again, I mean, it's more of a comfort. Comfort than anything. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm going to throw out another cliche, you know, the truth will set you free, but it's going to hurt. And most people don't want to hear the hurtful part of the truth. And what's even more hurtful, again, is that we don't know. That's the kicker. Mm-hmm. That's what scares people the most, is we don't know. Because, to my knowledge, no one has ever come back and said, hey, this is what I saw. Or, hey, this is what this is. Yes, you'll get those visions of I was close, and, you know, your mind comforts you by giving you the light or giving you something to ease your mind, I guess, while you're going through the traumatic experience of pain or, you know, or getting to the brink. You know, I mean, I'm just guessing that your mind will try to soothe that a little bit. So that's where you might see the white light, or you might see a relative or a loved one or something like that, you know, before being pulled back into life.
Yeah, or maybe it's just, yeah, it's what we tell each other to justify the things we do. You sacrifice because, you know, there's something beyond what we have now, or, you know, there'll be revenge at the end. And that comforts people, excuses people, like, yeah, you'll be dealt with by supernatural forces after they die. I'm like, oh yeah, it just makes people feel better that, you know, war criminals, they'll die and they'll go to hell. Or like, oh, you suffered all your life and, you know, you get your great reward.
Or you get your, you know, 40 virgins or something like that, just whatever, whichever.
Maybe it always made me wonder, is it those 70 virgins, is it their heaven?
You're like, I'm stuck with this guy for eternity.
Me and 71 other virgins.
I got my number pulled, I have to service this guy. Okay, I'm good. But yeah, it's really interesting how, you know, how us as a society for many, many years, way beyond before we even thought that this was instilled in us. And it was never questioned. Because you think about it, all the religious things that are out there, they always have the same thing. The moment you pass on, you have this to look forward to. Or this is going to happen to you if you're good, bad, ugly, indifferent. There is never a, and once again, you know, I could be wrong, not the first time, not the last time, there is never a chapter closes, that's it. That's it. TV off, movie's over, you know, stuff like that. There is just no blah, no emptiness, no darkness, no nothing. It's like an eternal sleep. There's never that, because we don't want to say that. We don't want to scare people with that.
Well, I was listening to an interview with an atheist writer that said that when you embrace secularism, or like, let's just say humanism, it puts the responsibility on the people here and now, and that's it. There's nobody else. There's nothing else that's gonna make things right gonna make the decision. It's up to people, all of us, at this moment to do it. There's no supernatural forces, and that's all. And I don't think our systems are made to deal with that at all.
Yeah, because if we think too much about it, and the only thing I can compare it to is like you have a little short circuit, because there's only so much that it can take. There's only so much that you can handle, because if you think about nothingness, or if you think about going here or going here, you're right. They just can't handle it, and they don't want to think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've spoken to religious people. I've spoken to atheists. I've spoken to, you know, many different religious people, and you know, it's all these different answers, but it's all going to a happy place. And I've always believed, even as a young kid, I've always believed that once it was time, you went to where you thought you were going to go. No mm-hmm. one can tell you anything differently. Someone can tell you, Kevin, you're going to go to hell because you kicked a small child in the balls because they stole your ball. You know, you're going to go to hell instantly. I'm like, wait a second, I was 5 when I did that. But, you know, mm-hmm. when you pass on, whatever you believe is where you're going to go. If you believe that your mind is going to take you to some place in the Cayman Islands for the rest of your life, you know, sipping mojitos, then that's what is going to happen. You know, if you believe that you have all this guilt inside of you that's going to take you to a fiery pit with some guy with devil horns, then that's where you're going to go. Or you'll be reincarnated as a tree, you know, just wherever your mind will take you, whatever your mind will program you. And, yeah, and that's one of the few things that I believe.
I mean, I've also heard it that it's not a lie if you believe it.
That is true. Senator Kevin, yes. But yes, that's definitely interesting. But the best part about it is, like I said, we don't know. That's the greatest thing about being a human is we don't know. And I don't think anyone can tell us. And I believe if someone does tell us, are we really going to believe it?
Some people do.
Yeah. Labeled me as a cynic. But I won't know until it happens. And when it does, I can guarantee you I'm not going to come back and tell you because, yeah, I might record that on the podcast one day. I'm not too sure. It's not a lie if you believe it. So there you go.
There you go.
Yep. So as we delve into the later portions of our show, do you have anything, Kevin? Do you have anything for us? Anything on your mind? Or shall we dip on over to the maps?
We can keep moving on.
Okay. Well, I will have you go first.
Okay. Let's go. Well, if we can move on to Rance. Rance is... I have a weird fear of being stuck in awkward conversations. And I just don't know how... I get too scared of offending people to escape them. Because in too many ways, because I like to be an engaged listener. And I'm like, uh-oh, it's an hour and we're still talking about this. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Maybe I should just drink more to have to use the bathroom on purpose. I don't know. But, it's hard. And I think it's... When you're a perceptive person, you can judge the flow of a conversation and also kind of like know that a conversation is an exchange of ideas, not just let me give you this tirade. Why the Smurfs suck. You know? So it's something that I have to work on myself just to be like, hey, this was cool, but I want to talk to other people, or like, you know, I got to be careful of charting. I don't know. So, yeah, guys, please be aware of that.
Like, watch out, Kevin. He will happen. It will happen, Kevin.
Exactly.
Well, to piggyback off of that, I always make the self-deprecating joke that I'm not the smartest peanut in the turd. And sometimes that plays into a factor when we're having great conversation. If we're in a group setting and just having casual conversation, sometimes my brain may trail off into something and someone will go, "What do you think, Adrian?" And I'll go, "Ooh, ooh, darn." And instead of, you know, being the smart man in the room and going, "Hey, I wasn't following along. I apologize. Could you please repeat what you said?" I'll try to chime in something totally insane. It won't make any sense, but I'll try to keep the conversation going, you know? And because I'm not really a social butterfly. I'm not. I'm not a good public speaker. I don't try to blend in with the conversation. I'm more of a person that will sit back and just listen and take it all in, yet still keeping my opinions to myself. Because just like you, I don't really want to say the wrong thing. And I've been trapped in conversations where, you know, it'll be a conversation of five and four people will agree with everything and there'll be me who don't agree with anything. And I'll say my opinion, it'll spark some humongous debate where no matter what I say, I'm wrong or I'm the weird one. And it's just something I just not like to be part of. So I just kind of just stand back and listen, you know, listen, observe, take a drink, hopefully go to the bathroom and try to plan out my exit.
Yep. I've been in those echo chamber situations before. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm not going to challenge these people's thinking. I don't want to get into it.
Well, I mean, I guess when it comes with age for me, I just prefer just to listen to people. Because as much as I love to rant on my podcast, I don't want to be that guy in the room ranting, because I've done it before and I've offended so many people. And it's the, "Oh, Adrian, what do you think about, you know, sex workers?" And they give me the floor and I rant and I rave, and then somebody in the group goes, "I'm a sex worker." And I'm like, "God damn it. Okay, never mind. Just, where's the bathroom? But other than that, let's do some shout-outs, and let's close this puppy up for the week. My shout-out is to my good friend Bill Burkowski. I mentioned him before. He's the creator of the WalkerACExperience.com/mobile website. He went out of his way to create that website for us. He recently updated, and it's awesome. And without him, that website would just be a pipe dream. So I do
this
thank
is a
you.
Reminder.
Thank you for that.
Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop. My shout out goes to not Alexa. Siri wouldn't do that to me.
Exactly. My shout out goes to Siri. Siri's so much better than Alexa. But yes, thank you, Bill, for creating that website for us and being overshadowed by Alexa. That's great. once again, we thank everyone for downloading, listening, going on your favorite podcast app to listen to the Walker AC Experience. Just been another great show. We were on a little break for a week, but that's the last of our breaks. So you're going to hear from us every week, continuing like we always do, always evolving, always opinionated, always solving world's problems, because that's who Kevin and I are. We are just legends in our own mind. So this is what we do for a living. Any final words, Mr. Kevin, before we sign off, sir?
Yes. Take your essential vitamins. Don't mess with those vitamins that your body can make. Essential ones are ones that your body cannot make. So get those in your body.
Perfect. For me, how many times do you eat? 3 times a day. How many times you shit? 1 a day. Switch, and you'll feel so much better. Guarantee it, folks. But and of course, as always, be sure you subscribe, you like, you follow, you share, and the walkeracexperience.com/mobile. Download, look for us on 21 different free apps out there that you listen to your favorite podcasts, of course. And of course, walkerac76.podbean.com on Podbean. Subscribe. We need to get our subscriber numbers up, so join along with us. And we thank you once again for taking time out of your busy day to listen to us rant, rave, solve world's problems, be silly, have a good time, yet be serious, have conversations, and we disagree, But at the end of the day, I hate that phrase. At the end of the day, we're still friends, can have a great conversation. So once again, this has been a Walker AC Experience. I have been Adrian. He has been Kevin. You have been our friends, our family, people who love us, people who hate us, but you're still going to listen. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Until next time, folks.